Hallelujah. 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 And Father, we come to you this morning with great joy, thanking you for the truth, thanking you for the price of Jesus, thanking you for the seal of the Spirit, thanking you for a way of escape, thanking you for your forgiveness and mercies and grace, and asking for your forgiveness of every stupid thing we've done that's offended you in any way whatsoever. Wash us with the blood of Christ, the stripes of Jesus, and fill us with your Spirit, that we may be one, because it's your desire that we are one with you, that we may see what you want us to see, hear what you want us to hear, and receive those things you've got prepared for us. Take us, Holy Spirit, to another level. Bring a fresh revelation, a fresh breeze from heaven, a fresh impartation, that we may be refreshed, and overflow with your goodness in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. How's everybody today? Blessed and highly flavored. Praise God. Oh, yes. Nothing greater than worshiping the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
You know, what happens is you change the atmosphere.
Amen.
See, we need to be atmosphere changers. You know, the government has an environmental agency. Well, we got an atmosphere agency. See, if you can change the atmosphere, you can change the environment. Hallelujah. They don't get it yet, though. You know, they're still trying to do it in the flesh. And if they would just send out worship teams over the ocean and stuff, things would be better. Would you turn to Psalm 42, please? Psalm 42. And if you need a Bible, we have Bibles if you're here without one. But the next time you come, bring one. Or you can keep the one we gave you today. Psalm 42. Psalm 42, let's read it together, please. Is everybody there? As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Hello, does everybody know you're going to appear before God someday? Nobody escapes it, right? Everybody comes before Daddy, and hopefully he's your daddy. Verse 3, my tears have been my food day and night, while they continue to say to me, where is your God? Now, this is powerful, because in this psalm, he is crying out to God. He's saying, Lord, you know, I want to know you. I need you. I'm looking for you. In fact, I'm waiting for you. And I know that you can do whatever you want to do. I know you can heal me. I know you can deliver me. I know you can provide everything of all of my needs. I know that you are he who does far above all I could ever ask or think. But the problem I'm having right now, is it the voice of the enemies are impressing me all around, and they continue to say to me, where is your God? Now, everybody here has gone through it, and you're going to go through it. Where is your God? Has everybody got it? Let's go a little further. In verse 4, he says, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. So he remembers. So in this he's saying, I remember when I used to go together to the house of God. I used to fellowship. I used to have joy. And praise you. I used to look forward to this. And because I used to celebrate that feast with my brothers and sisters. I remember this. And he says, verse 5, why are you cast down on myself? Why am I miserable? See, your soul is your mind, your will, and emotions. Why am I miserable? Why are you disquieted within me? And he's having a fight within him big time. He's saying, hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. He's saying, man, I don't care. I can't, you know, I'm trying. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do, but I can't fight this. Where is my God? But I know that you're there. Even though I fight within me, where are you? Because the impression of the voice of the stranger that impresses me constantly. Where is your God, says the voice of the enemy. But I say, I will praise him. Though he slay me, I will still praise him. I will praise him because he's faithful to complete what he started. It may not seem like it's manifesting today. It may not seem like it's even in reach. But it's coming. I know it's coming, even though I feel miserable. But thank God I don't live by how I feel. I don't live by what I think. I thank God that I believe his word. I believe he's real and he's faithful, even when I'm faithless. Hallelujah. Boy, we all need this message, don't we? Verse 6. Hallelujah. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan and from the heights of Hermon and the hill of Mazar. Deep calls on to deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. Oh, man, why are you disquieted? Listen here, soul. Listen, remember, your soul is your mind, your will, and emotions. Listen here, soul, he says. Listen, you mind. Listen, you emotional idiot. Listen, you will of the flesh. I'm not going to allow you to overtake the truth. I'm not going to allow you to steal what I know. My creator who created me in his image and likeness, and I am his child, that he will never forsake me nor leave me. I'm not going to let what you say or what you feel move me. I'm not going to allow this to happen. I'm going to make the choice, and I'm going to remember the goodness of the Lord. I'm going to remember the wonderful things he's done for me already. I'm going to remember that when I called, he did answer. I'm going to remember when I prayed, he did answer. I'm going to remember when I was in distress, he made a way of escape for me. I'm going to remember these things and not look at the things that are not yet. Are you listening? I'm going to look at the things that have come to pass and know that what hasn't come will come. Verse 9. What does he say? I will say to God, my rock. Now, it said he didn't think it. He what? Spoke it. I'm going to say to God, my rock. What's he going to say? Why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the what? Enemy. As with a breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me. While they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why has he forsaken you? Why has he forgotten you? You're all alone. Your God has rejected you. In verse 11. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? But I'm going to turn this around right now, because I'm going to hope in God. For I shall yet praise him, no matter what's going on. The help of my countenance and my God. Because it is written, it is spoken, and so shall it be. It is written, it is spoken, and so shall it be. Let me tell you, the enemy challenges your faith. He's going to challenge your faith with these words, "Where is your God?" Causing a reaction of the flesh. He's trying to get you to react and not respond. If he can get you to react, and he causes you to sow in the flesh. He's trying to get you to react in a flesh of discouragement, despair, rejection, abandonment. He's trying to convince you that God has forsaken you, forgotten you. He tries to bring oppression on you. Oh. And one of the things he tries to do is prevent you from praying, praising, and proclaiming. Amen. He's trying to keep or get you into a place where your heart becomes hardened. Because when your heart becomes hardened, then you won't praise, you won't pray, and you will not proclaim. Has everybody got it? He knows this. He knows that your only way of escape is through the presence of God. Because he fears God's presence. In Hebrews 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews 3. Verse 7. It's amazing we can, you know, we've quoted scriptures before. He who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm more than a conqueror. Then in the afternoon comes, we hear, "Where is your God?" I was like, oh man, here we go again. Wait a minute, hallelujah. Believe me, we all go through it. You know, one of the things that happens is because God isn't moving in your time.
Hello.
The enemy knows you're fighting within you. And you're telling everybody you're blessed, and that's the right thing to do. Because you are blessed no matter what. You are blessed. And the Bible says, bless the Lord all your soul and all that's within you. Bless his holy name, and don't forget. Don't forget, and don't forget, and don't forget. And that's what David was doing. He says, I remember, I'm not going to forget it. Don't forget his benefits. He forgives your iniquities. He heals your diseases. He rescues you from a life of destruction. He puts a new song in your mouth. See, these are areas that we cannot forget. We must hold on no matter what. So our heart doesn't become hardened. In verse 7, Hebrews 3. Would you read it with me there? Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear his voice, let me share something with you. When the heart becomes hardened, you will turn the voice of God off. And you will not see what he's trying to show you. And verse 8, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. In other words, the enemies are trying to always get you to go astray because he steals the promises of God from you. He steals these things. He steals, in other words, he tries to remove, he erases that memory of the things that God has done for you. Man, there's so many things that God has done for me. No matter what I go through, I can't forget those things. I go back to those things and say, Lord, I remember. I remember. And then I become grateful when I remember. I am grateful that I still have clothes. I'm grateful for hot water and a shower and soap. I'm grateful for everything that he's done and he's doing. I cannot go on the things that I don't have yet. I must go on the things that I do have and utilize what God has given me. And as I'm faithful to use what God's given me, I know He'll replenish it. It may not be according to my time or according to my will. It's according to His will. And sometimes He likes to stretch you. You know, He brings you to the end of the cliff, and then He calls you or He moves. And there's times when you're off the cliff and you're falling. And then He rescues you just before you hit bottom. Because He wants to make sure that He's your everything. He wants to make sure that there isn't anything in between you. Because see, what happens is as you're falling off the cliff, you begin to grab hold of everything that you've trusted in instead of Him. But if you just let go, He'll catch you. You won't have to catch Him. Oh, glory. I need this, man. You kidding me? I'm getting refreshed on this message. They did not know my ways. But you know what? We do know His ways. And we can't let things be stolen from us. It says, verse 11, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my what? Rest. That rest is called refreshing. Refreshing. And there is a time of refreshing. And that's today's message. Time of refreshing. And you know what? You must make that time to be refreshed. Or you'll become miserably. Verse 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an what? Evil heart of what? So unbelief is an evil heart. And departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, which is called what? Today. So why? The people can be what? Refreshed. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, which is the presence of evil. For we have become partakers of Christ if we what? Hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Wow. So when a hardened heart is manifested, an individual begins to turn the voice of God off. It promotes rebellion and prevents rest and refreshing. It prevents rest and refreshing. And one of the things we do need to have is refreshing, especially the way times are right now. I mean, things are difficult, aren't they? Jobs are difficult. The economy is everything is difficult. Everything is. But I'm telling you where it's not difficult. It's not difficult in His presence. Why do you think people are running to the bars? They're running to the bars, the dope dealers and everything else. They're trying to remove the burdens, but they're actually creating more. Because they're running to the wrong bar. They're supposed to be running to the altar. Not the bar. Acts 28. Where is your God? You know, when you're in that condition, you wake up every morning and the voice comes to you. Where is your God? Will He do it today? He's forsaken you. Or, you're bad. You bad boy. You bad girl. You know, because one of the first things you think is, what have I done wrong? So when you don't know what you've done wrong, you repent. Why take any chance? Don't convince yourself that you're doing everything right. Repent anyways. Well, Lord, I'm doing it. Man, don't stand before God and tell God you're doing everything right. Lord, I just don't understand this. I'm doing everything what you told me to do. Oh, really? So you've done everything I told you what to do. Well, listen, don't you remember when I told you to do this, but you turned your ears off to me? When I tried to show you this, you said to me, you couldn't do it. When I brought that person across your path, you didn't like him. Did you ever hear the story? If you didn't hear it already on one of our tapes, about 40 of them, I'll tell you it again today. Are you ready? There was this man, and he was crying out to God for help because a flood was coming. And so this flood was coming, and it was reaching up to his porch. And his dude came with a four-wheel drive and said, "Come on, get out of here, man. The water's going to get higher. You need to get out of here." He says, "No, I'm waiting on God to answer me." He says, "Okay," takes off. Well, the flood reaches the first floor and begins to get higher and higher. So the guy runs to the second floor, and this boat comes by, and he sees a dude hanging out his window on the second floor. He says, "Yo, come on, get in." He says, no, I'm waiting on the Lord." He takes off. Now, the second floor is flooding, and he's on the roof. And a helicopter flies over the search and rescue, throws the dude a ladder, and he waves him off. He says, "No, I've prayed, and I'm waiting on God." And they take off. Well, the dude dies and drowns. And he gets before the Lord. And the Lord is like, "What are you doing here?" He said, "What do you mean, Lord? I prayed and you didn't answer me." He said, "Who do you think said the four-wheel drive, the boat, and the helicopter?" See, because God didn't answer your prayer the way you expected it to do. You didn't think it was God. That means you didn't trust him. You trust more in what you prayed than him. Acts 28. In verse something. Is everybody there? On verse something? Ooh, nice. Let's start at verse 26. Oh, verse 25. Is everybody there yet? I know you got sidetracked by the story. So when they did not agree among themselves, they departed after Paul and had said one word. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet to our father, saying, "Go to this people and say, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not what? Perceive. For the hearts of this people have what? Grown dull." They've grown what? Dull. That's one of the things the enemy loves to do, is to try to get us into that place where we get so weary that we've grown dull. Our heart is slowly processing from a soft, compassionate heart to a heart of hard stone, and it's growing dull. It says, "For the hearts of this people have grown dull, and their ears are what? Hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should what? Heal them." Ooh. So was it God's desire to heal them? Yes, but what had happened? They become hard-hearted. They become dull of hearing because God didn't move according to their way. Hearts grown dull because of the weariness and the constant challenge of the voice that says, "Where is your God?" But the enemy constantly, constantly will try. He knows when you get weary. And let me share something with you. He does not show up with just fiery darts. He knows when you're weary, he shows up with harpoons. He is relentless. Are you listening? He's not going to just show up one time with a little bow and arrow, and it's not going to have a little suction cup on the end of it. He's going to show up with a piercing arrow. He's going to try to convince you that the things that you've done were wrong and incorrect. All those wrong choices you've made. Why? Because he loves to bring you to the past. Are you listening? Because he wants you to, he's trying to blame your past on your present. But if you're a new creation in Christ, all things have passed away and all things have become new. The only time that things are still manifesting from your past is because you're not letting them go. So the enemy is relentless in attacking. But there's something we must do. We must turn. We must turn. Why? Because when a person doesn't turn, that person can end up perished. That person can end up loony. That person can end up totally so tormented because the enemy will convince that person to commit suicide. That person can be so taken over by the presence of evil that the only way out is you, somebody, praying, interceding, so that the hand of God is stretched out to that person. Amen? 2 Samuel, verse 16. 2 Samuel, verse 16. Is everybody okay? Verse 5. Is everybody there? Glory. 2 Samuel 16, verse 5. How many of y'all need this message today? Believe me, if you don't think you need it today, you will need it. In verse 5, would you read it? Now when King David came to Baalah, there was a man from the family of Saul, and this was King Saul, whose name was Shemaiah, the son of Gera, coming from there. He came out cursing continuously as he came. And he threw stones at David and at all the servants of King David. Now, was this dude demonized or what? Was he representation of the enemy who was out cursing David and throwing stones at him? Did you ever feel the enemy doing that to you? Amen. And all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. Also, Shemaiah said thus when he cursed, come out, you bloodthirsty man, you rogue. I don't think they would have offended anybody these days, but might have offended a lot of people then. Can you imagine someone, you rogue? Yeah, right, okay, man. Hallelujah. Verse 8. The Lord has brought upon you all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose place you have reigned. And the Lord has delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom, your son. So now you are caught in your own evil because you are a bloodthirsty man. Now this guy was cursing David and everybody, throwing stones at him and all of these guys, all of his military. Now David didn't go kill him. He just let him go ahead. Then Abishaiah, the son of Zariah, said to the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Now remember I share with you the word dog in the Bible means demonized individual. It says, please let me go over and take off his head. But the king said, what have I to do with you, you sons of Zariah? So let him curse, because the Lord has said to him, curse David. Who then shall say, why have you done so? And David said to Abishiah and all of his servants, see how my son, who came from my own body, seeks my life. How much more now may this Benjamite, let him alone and let him curse, for so the Lord has ordered him. It may be that the Lord will look on my affliction, and that the Lord will repay me with good for his cursing this day. Glory! David got it, man. He said, let him go. Go ahead. You know, so many times we want to retaliate right then. We want to react instead of respond. In verse 13. And as David and his men went along the road, Shemaiah went along the hillside opposite him and cursed as he went, threw stones at him, and kicked up dust. Now you got to understand, it was in the hands of David. He could have killed the guy. No problem. He was a dog. In verse 14. Now the king and all the people who were with him became weary. So they what? Refreshed themselves. Why were they weary? Because of this idiot cursing and throwing stones at them. These guys were marching and walking. And finally they were weary. They said, man, we need refreshing. So they refreshed themselves. In other words, they stopped to refresh and regain. They stopped to refresh. Why? Because they knew if they could get refreshed, they could hear better and they could see better. They could do what? They could hear better and see better. And by hearing better and seeing better, they can discern correctly, amen, what God was trying to show them. And this was a time of refreshing. Why? Because when the enemy's pressing you on all sides, you become weary. You become what? Weary. Especially when things are not manifested yet. You become weary. That's why we have the anointing service. So you can become refreshed in the presence of the Lord. Go to Acts 3. So there's certain things that we got to do during all of these trials. And the Bible says count it all joy as you go through these trials and tribulations, right? Well, it's not easy to count it all joy when you're in the flesh. In fact, you don't want to count anything. You're just miserable, and then you call up somebody else as miserable as you are. Because misery loves company. So the demons that are tormenting you are talking through the people you're talking to that's being tormented. Those demons are getting fed while you're talking to one another. And they pull out, the plates and, full apron because they're eating big time now. In Acts chapter 3. So there's something that we need to do, and that is repent. There's three P's. We must repent, we must resist, we must return so we can get... Oh, three R's, I'm sorry. Three R's, these are three R's. We did the three P's already. Well, the third letter's P. So there's three R's we have to do, and that's repent, resist, and return so we can get refreshed. Praise God. And verse 17, what's it say? Is anybody there? Acts chapter 3 and verse 17. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in what? Ignorance. And as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all of his prophets that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. What does he say? Repent. Everyone say repent. Repent. Therefore, and be converted that your sins may be blotted out so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Times of what? Refreshing. Times of refreshing. I didn't say refleshing. I said refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. So we need to repent, resist, and return to get refreshed. It's called the times of refreshing. Why? Now, ignorance is really no excuse, is it? It's not an excuse. Go to James chapter 4. You know, when people get in that state of being where the enemy is truly causing so much weariness, you know, it's like, they even have a hard time picking up the Bible and reading, and they read sometimes, and nothing just seems to be penetrating because the heart's so hard, and they're so frustrated, and they're being so tormented in the mind. But God is making a way of escape. And James chapter 4 and verse 7, would you read it? Therefore what? Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will what? Flee from you. So by submitting to God, you must first start off with repentance. Because it says repentance will allow you to get into the presence of the Lord by praise and worship. And by repentance, you are washed by the blood, allows the Spirit access to you. So you're actually activating the blood of Christ by repenting. But I didn't do anything wrong. Repent anyways. If you're in that condition, man, you better start repenting. Don't justify. And don't blame anybody else for your garbage. And quit blaming the devil. People spend more time blaming the devil instead of getting into refreshing. It's like somebody standing next to a water fountain that's complaining they're thirsty.
Man, I'm so thirsty. The water ain't coming out, though.
They're expecting the water just to fly out because they're standing next to the water fountain. There's something you got to do. You got to activate the fountain. Amen. That means you got to cooperate, press the button, then the water comes out. Then you can get refreshed. Hello. That's called repentance. Don't justify, just repent. Repent and the refreshing will come. So when you submit to God, you've repented. Why? Because you're submitting to what he's asking you to do. Now, because you've submitted to God, there's something you can do. Resist the devil. I've got to tell you something in case you don't know it. You cannot resist the devil without submitting to God. I don't care what you do, who you call, or where you go. Until you have submitted to God, you are incapable of resisting the devil. So everybody got it? The word says so. Submit to God, then you can resist the devil. So when you're crying out to God for help, he usually will try to send someone or send you to a place so that you can first repent, resist the devil, then you can turn and get refreshed. So when you repent, you're washed by the blood, you become submissive, you are able to resist the devil. And then you get healed from the torment, and it brings a true refreshing. Go to Philemon, chapter 1. It's right after Titus. So when you hear, where is your God? You can say, he's right here, homie. Hallelujah. He's right here to kick your butt. For though I am slayed, I will still praise him. Philemon 1. Is everybody there? And verse 7. Read it with me. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Hallelujah. Did you ever, you know, you'd be down and out, and all of a sudden somebody comes by, or you talk to someone, and they just stir you up and encourage you. What's happening? That presence of God is bringing a refreshing to you that they're carrying. And they're encouraging you because you've been bummed out, nothing's happening, and all kinds of other things are going on in your life. And it's like, oh, thank you, Lord, for bringing my brother or sister in refreshing me. Amen. Go to verse 20 while we're there. Yes, brother. Let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Verse 21, having confidence in what? Your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. Wow. You know, so many times we get so caught up that we're in so tormented that we lose sight. We forget. We can't remember. And the only thing, and we can't see, we can't hear. And the only thing that we're looking at is our own misery. We're looking at what God hasn't done yet. And we've got to come out of that. We've got to move out of that. We've got to, Lord, forgive me for not trusting you. Lord, forgive me for not praising you. Forgive me. Now you're, what are you doing? You're activating the blood of Christ, aren't you? Because you're asking for forgiveness. You're repenting. And let me tell you, something's going to happen where you're going to be refreshed. No matter what. Go to 2 Corinthians 7. And verse 13. Would you read it? Therefore, we have been comforted in your comfort, and we have rejoiced exceedingly more for the joy of Titus, because his spirit has been refreshed by you all. So Titus was struggling. And you know what he did? He went to the fellowship. He went to the fellowship. And you know what happened? He got refreshed. Oh, yeah. 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16. Is everybody there? In verse 17. Chapter 16 and 17. Let's read this together. I am glad about the coming of Stephanias, Fortunius, and Acacius. They couldn't say Steve, Joe, and Bill. But anyways, I am refreshed. I am glad about the coming of my three brethren. For what was lacking on your part, they what? They supplied. For they refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore what? Acknowledge such men. In other words, go. Go there and get refreshed. You know where the presence of God is. Go there. Let me tell you, how many times the enemy doesn't want you to come to a service, anointing service, or come to a Bible study. People are miserable and they stay miserable. The enemy has got them so convinced that God can't do it. Or they believe God can do it, but they want them to do it their way. And it just doesn't happen that way. So everybody got it. Go to 1 Samuel 16. First Samuel 16. Is everybody there? 1 Samuel 16 and verse 23. Let's read it. So it was whenever the Spirit of God was upon Saul. Now, it was not the Holy Spirit. It was a distressing demon because of Saul's disobedience. That David would take a harp and play it with his hand. Then Saul would become what? Refreshed and well, and a distressing spirit would depart from him. Hello. He got healed, he got delivered, and he got refreshed because he made the choice to praise God. Praise God. Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28. Refreshing. Times of refreshing. We must make the time to get refreshed. Or the enemy will tear you up. Especially during difficult times. In Isaiah 28 and verse 11, would you read it with me? For with stammering lips and another tongue he will speak to these people, to whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. Now, he was talking about people praying in tongues. That many people would reject this gift. And it was Isaiah prophesied that the tongues was of coming, but many people would reject it. But he said by praying in tongues, there is a refreshing. You know, because so many times you don't know what to pray. You're so miserable. You're so caught up. The only thing, you can't even speak out the right words. I don't even know what to say, Lord. He said, pray in the Spirit. So as you begin to pray in tongues, something begins to happen. You get rest and you begin to get refreshed. And now clarity comes. You're able to hear better and see better. God makes a way of escape for you. Amen? And Romans 15. Romans 15. So no matter what you're going through, make time for refreshing. Make the time to get refreshed. Always remember that there's somebody else in worse condition than you. Romans 15. Is everybody there? Verse 29. Let's read it. But I know that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe, and that my service for Jerusalem may be accepted to the saints, that I may come to you with joy by the will of God and may be refreshed together with you. So there is a refreshing in fellowship. There's a refreshing in unity. There's a refreshing. You know, again, one of the things that's happening right now is there's economic problems everywhere. People are, homes are not worth the way they were, and they're still paying mortgages and stuff. Listen, I've been serving the Lord 17 years. And in the last 12 years, we've had homes bringing people in. And this is the first time of all of these years that we were not able to pay three mortgages. It's the first time. In all of these years, it's the first time. Now, I could become miserable. I could do all kinds of stuff. But you know the one thing that we must always do is not put ourselves first. Because when you begin to put others first, God makes a way. Does everybody understand that? When God has told you to do something, even though it doesn't seem like something's gonna manifest, it's gonna. I know that somehow, some way, the Lord is gonna make way. I know, no matter what. Even when we've given up our paychecks and everything else, God is still gonna make way. No matter what. We cannot look at the things that are not, because we call those things that are not as though they are. Amen? God will always make the way. No matter what, every circumstance that every one of us has ever been in, God has always made a way. Even when we were out as heathens. Even when I was an unbeliever, I still believed in God, never knew him, never quoted scriptures, but knew that somehow he would make a way. I used to call them mole watchers. But anyways, I knew the angels of God were known as mole watchers because all humans were moles.
Yo, Mo.
But anyways, so I always knew that somehow something would always come to pass. God would make a way. And he still does. He says he never forsakes the righteous. He says you'll never see the righteous begging for bread, no matter what. So I know that he will make a way. And if I know he's going to make a way for me, I know he's going to make a way for you. Somehow. Some way. It may not come in the way you think, but it's coming. So what you need to do in the meantime is get refreshed. Get refreshed. No matter what. Make the times of refreshing. It is important. Especially if you're having family problems, children problems, job problems, all of those problems, sickness, whatever, get refreshed. If you'll stay refreshed, you won't get refleshed. Psalm 92. And we'll close here. Psalm 92. It's just for you. Would you read it with me, please? It is good to what? Give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. On an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute and on the harp, will harmonious sound. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your word. I will triumph in the works of your hands. O Lord, how great are your works. Your thoughts are very deep. A senseless man does not know, nor does a fool understand this. When the wicked spring up like grass, and when all the workers of iniquity flourish, it is that they may be destroyed forever. Oh, I love this. So listen, the reason why the enemy is being exposed in your life is so you can destroy him. Not so he can destroy you. So you can destroy him. Verse 8. But you, Lord, are on high forever. For behold your enemies, O Lord. For behold your enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with what? Fresh oil. Now let me tell you, times of refreshing, when you make the times of refreshing, when you repent, you resist, you return, you get refreshed, it brings fresh oil. That's a fresh anointing that you need, because God releases more of an anointing. He knows your circumstance and he knows what the fight is. He isn't forsaking you. He's trying to empower you more with his presence and anointing so you can get through. So you can have some fresh oil, not flesh oil, fresh oil. 11. My eye also has, well, what happened? He's able to see now because he got some fresh oil. My eye also has seen my desire on my enemies and my ears. My desire on the wicked who rise up against, now he's able to see and hear. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age, and they shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Hallelujah! Times of refreshing is here. Hallelujah. Now, Father, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. We apply the blood of Jesus on the seed that the enemy, we rebuke the devourer to try and come and steal. Let the seed grow and bear fruit for your glory. And when we hear, where is your God? We know where our God is. He's at the right hand. He's overseeing. He's watching. He's seeing. And he will never forsake us nor leave us. And he's trying to get us fresh oil so we can kick the butts of every devil out there, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.